Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We're here ready for another episode, another half an hour or so to spend with you talking student ministry stuff. I'm Ben Trueblood. John Paul's here.
Yo.
Mary Margaret's here.
Hey.
The three of us are so excited to be spending time in your ears. So here's what we have coming up for today. We have an exciting episode that we are going to get to in just a moment.
Like a Q-tip. I can't get over being in everybody's ear. I saw a commercial the other day for this thing. Well, it's like a Facebook ad for this thing that had like a blunt end so it wouldn't go too far in your ear. And then it had... And then it has a corkscrew in front of it, and it's supposed to, like, corkscrew the earwax out of your ear.
Oh, man.
And that's all I was envisioning when you said we were in their ears.
You're not supposed to stick corkscrews in there.
You're just corkscrewing student ministry shop talk into your ears.
Yes. Well, this one's getting off the rails really quickly. And it has. So at this point, you can press pause, head over to iTunes, leave a rating and review. We would love to hear from you and what you think about the podcast, not about the last 30 seconds, but about your general feeling of the podcast as a whole. We would love that. We want to get better. We want to serve you better. So let us know. Also, it helps people find this podcast as they search for the student ministry podcasts. So do that for us. The other thing that we want to make sure you remember, if you haven't listened to our Christmas episode that released the last weekend of November, go do that. It's a fun episode, but one of the things that we introduce is a contest that we're currently running right now. It will end December 31st. The winner of the contest will get $100 off of an annual subscription to the Student Pastor Network.
Dilly dilly.
So that's something that we want to make sure and put on your radar. Be a part of the contest. What is the contest, you might be asking? That's a fantastic question.
What is this contest you speak of?
This contest involves one of the greatest Christmas church traditions of all time, the living Christmas tree. Some churches might call it the singing Christmas tree, but it's that like 40-foot tree that the choir gets all up in, and there's always that one person at the very top under the star that has, like, the money solo.
Yeah!
Similar to that. And so what we want you to do, if you have the living Christmas tree at your church or somewhere in your community, go film a video of the star solo hitting that money note.
Yeah!
And you can take that video, submit it under the hashtag Singing Tree Money Note, and we will look and find a winner. We'll talk about the winner. We'll post about the winner. We will shower the winner with gifts of one $100 off annual subscription to the Student Pastor Network.
Gifts, meaning gift.
Just one.
$100 in your pocket.
That's right. So if you don't have the living Christmas tree in your church or in your community, you can climb to the top of a tree and film yourself hitting the money note.
Which I feel like is an automatic win.
Basically.
Yeah. So.
But don't fall. Like, don't get up to the top. Like, we're not going to be liable if you fall.
Or if you do, make sure.
That's a good point.
If you do, make sure that part's on video.
Yeah, make sure you have a spotter.
Safety first.
Safety first.
Maybe a climbing tree stand, some type of harness. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, your hashtag for the competition to submit your video is Singing Tree Money Note. Singing Tree Money Note. So jump into the competition. Most importantly, we want to see all of the singing tree footage that exists. That's going to be great. So with that out of the way, so here's our topic for today. We are going to cover something that was submitted by one of our listeners. Mr. Olu Brown wants us to talk about something that he's experienced a lot, and that's how to deal with students leaving your ministry. And so, listen, you've been in student ministry for any amount of time. You know that sometimes students decide not to be a part of your church anymore. Sometimes they decide not to attend. Sometimes they go to another church. There are a lot of reasons for that. But any time spent in student ministry means that you will have to deal with this issue and how to manage when students leave your ministry, when families leave your church or ministry. You need to know how to approach that in a healthy way, okay? Because we need to have kingdom goals in minds in our minds here as we approach this topic as you serve in your student ministry. So now one of the things I want to make really clear is that we're not talking about like one of the parents' jobs got transferred and the family moves. So we're going to set that to the side. So what we're going to talk specifically about in this episode is when a student chooses to leave, but they still could be a part of your church. They're just choosing not to anymore, which can be a very sad thing if we're not prepared for that. So right out of the gate, let's throw out some reasons why this happens. Common reasons why students would choose to stop coming or to go to another church.
Their friends go to a different church.
Yeah.
Activities, like sports activities, there's just too much going on. They're too busy.
Yeah, so seasonally, they may not show up. I think boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Parents split up, living in different houses every weekend. Yeah. Saw that a bunch.
Or that their parents let it be an optional thing. And it's really up to the student whether or not they choose to come.
Yeah, that's right.
And for one reason or another, they've decided to step back for a season or for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. So let's talk about that one for a minute. The student who just decides, I don't want to be a part of this church thing anymore. Because that does happen, right? Like, we've all been a part of student ministries, and we've all had students that have decided, man, this thing isn't, it's not because seasonally, like we mentioned before, it's just they don't want to do the church thing anymore. They don't want to be a part of godliness or Christianity, or they're just leaving. What do you do then? Because I think the student pastor, the challenge there is not to internalize that and not to say, oh, they're leaving because I'm a bad student pastor, or they don't want anything to do with this because I haven't done a good enough job.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. I know that I have had sometimes when a student has left and it felt like a personal offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you're leaving me, which is, I guess, understandable because you're so invested, and often you're invested. I mean, the times that I really felt that, I was deeply invested in that student.
Yeah.
So when they left, it was like, man, how are you going to just leave me? Look at all this that I'm pouring into you. But there's always something more there. And I think the first thing we have to do is kind of remove ourselves from that and look into, okay, what else is going on outside of this investment that I'm making? What does home look like? What do friends look like? What do their relationships look like? And so really that kind of brings me to the answer. What do you do when they leave? I think the first thing you do is you pour in harder. And a lot of times there's a temptation to say, okay, well, you're going to leave? Well, I'll just let you go.
Yeah.
You know, I'll pour into the people that want to be here. But sometimes the people that are leaving are leaving out of some kind of a frustration or a drama or something that's happening inside their friend group. They don't know how to handle it. They're just bailing. And that's when they need you to press in the most. Now, I don't think you need to like follow them around for 3 months and badger them to come back and all of that. But a reasonable pursuit of them, I think, is right and scriptural.
Yeah. And I think to find out, like you said, what are the real reasons behind what they're saying as to why they're not coming? So do they say something like, well, this student ministry is just full of cliques and I can't fit in? Is that really what's happening, or is it something else? Is it after talking to them, is it something that's going on at home that they just don't want to, they're not comfortable being up there? Is it that perhaps when they're there, they're experiencing conviction?
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit's working on them and it puts them in an uncomfortable spot. And so their choice is to flee in that moment. But when you press in and you really diagnose, okay, what is going on here beyond the initial, very few people will give the first thing they say is the real reason why they stopped doing something, right?
Yeah.
So finding out the why behind that can lead you to a great ministry opportunity.
Man, and I think sometimes students don't know why.
Yeah.
Like you ask them why and they'll give you an answer, and they probably genuinely see that as the big reason that they're leaving. But I don't know how many times I've helped a student kind of process, okay, then let me ask this next question. Then let me ask this next one. And then what do you think is at the root of that? And they come to this moment of realization like, oh man, you're right. Like I didn't know I was struggling that way.
Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of them, it's when it's up to them, it's a thing that they can control to an extent. And so it's like they like the fact that they can make the decision on it. But at the same time, too, I think so many of them are crying out for boundaries and for people to say, I'm not going to just let you walk off, because other people have done that to them. And I think some of them, they're trying to test the waters to see if anybody would chase after them if they did leave, you know, if they did quit showing up.
Mary Margaret, what do you think about parents in that equation? Like, I think part of it is definitely chasing them down. I think there's also times when you can pursue and should pursue the parents to say, I don't want to let your student leave. Do you think that is overstepping our spot as a youth worker?
You know, I think it kind of depends on your role, your relationship with that parent in particular, or just with parents in general. You know, but especially if it's somebody that you know and are familiar with, I think it's totally fine to step in and say, hey, can we talk about this for just a second? Like, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. And you have to take all the personal side of it aside and not let it be an emotionally driven conversation, but just to be like, hey, I'm just trying to make sure everything's okay. Like, I want to check on you and your student and just to make sure that, like, you know, there hasn't been something that needs to be fixed or apologized for, or, you know, anything like that, whether it came from you or from somebody else. And, you know, but I think to pursue those parents shows them that you care, you know. And some of those parents are going to respond really well to the fact that somebody has asked a question about their kid, and, you know, they're wanting to know that they're wanted there. And then some of them, I think they don't care. And so it's like, you could have the conversation. They go, thanks, but no thanks. And, you know, this is really up to my kid to decide. And that's where it gets really tricky, is just the how much freedom the parents have given the students, but then again, how much the parents are involved in that process.
Man, I think this is probably one of the hardest ones, is when the student leaves because the parent has given them an option, but also the parents are driving them toward an extracurricular thing.
Yeah.
Like, they're really pushing the baseball agenda, or they're really pushing the basketball agenda. And so the temptation is to go to those parents and have this, like, you know, stand at the top of the hill and, you know, drive your flag in the ground to say that is not more important than church.
Yeah.
But we've talked about that before, Ben, on the podcast, like, what's our place there?
Yeah, I've had that conversation before, several, in fact.
Yeah.
And not a single one turned out well. They all burnt bridges with families, because there's a way to approach it beyond, this is more important, they don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. In the case of extracurricular activities, before, we've talked about some of the options there. One of them is, what does it look like to equip that family to be ministers as they do travel ball or whatever? Like, so instead of saying that's wrong and this is right, you should prioritize this, what does it look like to equip that family to be the hands and feet of Jesus in whatever tournament city they're playing in that weekend? I think, though, the larger component here in this parent conversation is, when you have an ongoing ministry to parents, all of these conversations become easier.
Yeah. Yep.
So if the only time you do parent ministry is when there's an issue or when something like this comes up, then there's no credibility for you to stand on and be able to have this priority conversation. And that's the case that I experienced in some of these conversations, is there wasn't an ongoing parent ministry in place already.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, when I show up and say, let's talk about the priorities that you're giving your children here, there's no credibility, there's no relationship, enough of a relationship anyway, to be able to confront something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes nowhere at all.
Yeah.
And so this, to me, this is a parent ministry. If you need another reason why you should have one and be organized with it and be strategic with it, it's so that when moments like this come up, and when there's moments of pain and when there's moments of struggle, not just this one thing, but anytime something comes up with a parent where you need to have a conversation, you're going to be able to have one on the foundation of relationship and pouring in already.
Yeah.
Yeah. That history of, man, they, you know, this student pastor, student ministry leader has given me a ton of tools. You know, they've communicated with me regularly. I know they want the best for me. When you call, it's not like getting a call from the principal.
Right.
Like, if they only hear from you when something is wrong, or you need their money, or, you know, you need somebody else to come man the bounce house.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, then they're already going to be in a certain posture when you call to say, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we all want people to be in the trenches with us, right? Like, mm-hmm. So as a student ministry leader, think about those times when a parent that is not close to you in relationship and is kind of on the fringes all of a sudden shows up in your office and starts telling you how to lead your ministry. Take how you feel in that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing that they experience when all of a sudden we as student ministry leaders show up and start telling them how to do their stuff when there's no relationship there. So that,
yeah,
you felt that frustration. That's the same thing. That's the same thing that they feel.
So how do we win them back? Let's say you've had a great conversation with parents and the parents say, you know what? You're right. I'm struggling with this too at home. Here are the conversations that we've had. Yes, you have full access to go, you know, grab coffee with them, you know, whatever, and talk through it. What do you do to win them back?
I think you have to just be with them. And I think you have to pick some students that are already in your ministry to be with that other teenager as well. Because they're not going to come back just for you.
Yeah.
And if they do, then it's the motives are misplaced and it's not going to be lasting anyway. I think this is something where community and small group and challenging teenagers in your own ministry to reach outside themselves and love each other, that's where all of this comes into play, because they're going to go where they're welcomed and cared for and where they feel like they have community. So I think that's an essential component here too. And I think there's a distinction to be made, like, between ones who don't come for a little while because of some seasonal sport and ones that say, man, I'm just not coming because it's not for me. There's a different approach in both of those scenarios. We've talked about some with the sports thing or with the extracurricular thing and equipping them. But the ones who are just like, man, church isn't for me, I'm not coming. I think some coaching to the parents, again, on that foundation of relationship of, man, it's okay to enforce your student being there. And then when they're here, I'm going to do my part on the ministry end to build some things around them that will help them want to stay when they're here.
Yeah.
Because if the parent's not saying you have to be there and they don't want to come, your hands are kind of tied at that point.
And I think we've got to equip our small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, those people with these kind of conversations to say, we want them to be the first line of defense. We want them and their friends, you know, their peers to be the first ones that respond when somebody's missing, when somebody doesn't start to show up.
And, right.
You know, and that they feel equipped, because it's like, in a sense, especially in a church situation where there has been, you know, maybe multiple transitions of student pastors coming in and out over the years, that like, you've got to look around and go, who, like, I think some of these students are going, who's staying? Like, and hopefully, you know, maybe if you've stepped into a situation like that, you can help rectify the way that that's viewed. But at the same time too, you know, those small group leaders, their peers, they're the ones that are planted there, you know, for, and that are a part of that church and that's in their DNA. And a lot of them have been there for a long time, and not just for that reason, but they're able to speak into it in a way that maybe you can't in that moment. And so you've got to equip your leaders really well to have these conversations and to know how to coach students when their friends quit coming.
Yeah, that's good.
So I can think of one other scenario that is, you know, some of it is, okay, I've got personal stuff that are the reasons that I'm not coming. I often heard from students like a ministry-based reason, like, man, the room is just full of middle schoolers and I don't think it's for me as a high school student. Which a lot of times isn't really the case. It's just that the middle schoolers are the loudest, most obnoxious ones
always,
in the room.
Always.
So it could be 50-50 high schoolers to middle schoolers. But when you say, we're going to play a game, and all the sixth graders stand up and go, I want to play. It feels like this room is full of middle school kids. Like, what am I doing? How do you address that?
I think you have to address it with leadership. I think that's the moment where you instill in the older students, hey, like, you have an opportunity here. Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, it's a challenge at the same time, and it feels this way and all that. So you challenge with leadership and say, hey, like, there's a greater purpose for you being, like, all these middle schoolers are going to be where you are someday. So you need to help disciple them, and you need to get them there. And the other thing is, if you hate it that much, why don't you bring some of your friends and swing the ratio?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like at a very practical level, hey, if you don't like it that way, maybe you should bring some of your friends and then we'll get to a point where you can split and have two services.
And I think when we're active in seeking out students where they are, that begins to make a difference in all of this too, whether it's an imbalance, you know, of middle school to high school, or whether it's just a relational thing that's going on. But when we show up on their turf, and, you know, whether it's at a school lunch, a game, you know, something like that, where you're just present there to say that, like, you matter to me, and that you matter to me outside of church, outside of Wednesday night or Sunday morning, and that, you know, your friends matter to me, and I want to get to know them. I want you to introduce me to them. That speaks volumes of value to them, and I think a lot of intangibles. And so we've got to make sure that we're taking time to do those sorts of things as we're pursuing, you know, the answers to some of these questions that are coming up.
I think something that I didn't expect to see, I didn't know how true it was until it happened in our ministry, was the power of having some leadership, Ben, like you said, begin to speak into some of the student ministry programming that we did. And I don't mean like on a planning team. I mean in the room, in the programming, doing the leading. I'll never forget, there was one Wednesday night shortly after we had started some real intense discipleship with a group of three guys. One of those guys stood up on a Wednesday night, and I don't remember. I think, Ben, were you preaching that night? I think Daniel walked up to you like at the end of the message before he dismissed and said, hey, I need to say something.
Yeah.
And so Ben handed Daniel the mic, which you can't do with just anybody. So please, with great caution, but we knew Daniel well.
We knew him really well.
And so Daniel grabbed the mic and just basically laid down the law. And it immediately kind of matured the whole atmosphere of the room, because you had that role model student that was standing up saying, this is our service. This is our place of worship. Yeah. And this is what I'm seeing. And I'm disappointed, but I'm taking a mantle of leadership to say, let's step up.
Yeah.
That moment was invaluable.
Yeah.
And totally unexpected, not scripted.
Yeah. We didn't ask him to do it.
No.
Like he just.
But it was one student standing up, one high school student standing up to lead. That really changed the dynamic of that Wednesday night experience moving forward.
Yeah, it did. So what do you do about students who leave and just go to another church in the area? Because that happens all the time. We mentioned friendships. We mentioned people from school. We mentioned boyfriend, girlfriend. What's the proper protocol there? Like, do you just wait a little bit and see what happens, knowing that if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, it's probably not going to last too long and they'll be back? Do you call the youth pastor at the other church and like, hey, like, we're cool, everything's fine, I just want to let you know this student's coming to your church? What's the responsibility there?
I think the first thing to do is just to not take it personally, because that often creates this reaction within us that then dictates how we're going to talk about what's, you know, a student that's left or is, you know, currently going somewhere else. But then too, you know, it's like you've got to circle back to the parent aspect of this, going, A, do their parents know that they're doing this? And B, do their parents care that they're doing this? And that's where it adds these other layers, because sometimes it's totally up to them, sometimes it's not. But I think sometimes we've got to just listen to the reasons why, like if you can get to it, and let there be a wise decision made, because maybe for that season, that is the best place for them.
Yeah.
You know, as long as their parents are supportive of it and walking alongside that direction. But it also, it's just really tough when that starts to happen, because it's not, you know, you want to go, but you know, what could we have done differently? What are they doing over there that's attracting them to come? Like and you want to start like analyzing all the 85 reasons, and then, you know, forget to kind of turn your head and go, I've still got a ton of students that still are here, that still are showing up. And there has to be a balance somewhere in there, but it's really tough.
I think what you said about, yes, I totally agree, not, you know, killing yourself and analysis of why that one is gone and neglecting the others. I do think, man, there's a healthy period of analysis that you can give, like what is cool about that ministry? Mm-hmm. What's attractive about that ministry? What are they doing maybe that I'm not doing?
Oh, yeah.
Not to say that you need to model yourself after them, because you're not them and they're not you. But I think we should all be learning from one another.
Definitely.
Realizing at the same time that it may not be anything that the church is doing. It could be just that they're a teenager and they decided to go there for some random reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's nothing that you could be doing differently.
Because just like you're encouraging your students to invite other students to come, maybe somebody's just invited them to come. And so they went.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
to change it up.
There's sure. also, I think, in that analysis, I mean, there were a few churches in our area when Ben and I were serving together that would attract a lot of students, we would say, in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
And there are some of those times that's when it's like, okay, well, I know that this ministry isn't a healthy one. Is my responsibility to go try to pluck them out of that, you know? Or do I just leave them there? Where do you think the line is? I mean, obviously, if they have gone to the Church of Latter-day Saints, then you try to go pluck them out, right? But
I don't know that there is a line that I would draw that says at this point that's where you stop and start. I think a conversation with the student is totally appropriate. Hey, just help me understand why. And I think a conversation with the other youth pastor or whoever's leading the student ministry at the other place. Hey, this person's not coming to my church anymore. They've been coming to your church. I just want to put it on your radar because I don't want them to fall through the cracks. You know, like I just, if it's a church that's healthy and they're doing good stuff, then it's like, man, they might do it differently than me, but hey, this person's coming. Let's have a kingdom mindset here. And that's a lot easier to say as we sit here in this room together
yeah.
than it is to be in the spot of a student pastor and say, man, I'm going to call this person and say, it's okay if they come to you. I just want them to be taken care of. Like, man, that takes a lot of humility
yeah.
to be able to make that call.
Yeah.
But it's a kingdom mindset. In a case where you know that the church would be teaching things that wouldn't be biblical or that would be outside of what we would judge according to scripture as the right things to teach about what it means to follow Jesus, then I think you can have a conversation with the student about that. And I think you can have a conversation with the parent about that if there is relational equity there.
Yeah.
Because again, you can't just sit down and say, hey, I want to talk, this other church is filling your student with heresy. You're not going to get anywhere in that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that conversation, if you're in the place to have that conversation, I think you need to make sure it is legitimate heresy, not just a difference in theological yes. opinion mm-hmm. on some minor doctrine.
That is exactly
so
right.
We'll just throw it out there. You're Reformed and that the church that they've gone to is not Reformed. This is not grounds for you to step in here.
Right.
Or any other thing like that. But the student goes to a church and they're saying, man, the Garden of Eden is just a metaphor, you know?
Jesus isn't the only way to salvation.
Yeah. That is when, yes, pursue. Yes, have conversations. Signs, yes. Go after them.
Yeah.
You know, no, you're not going to rule on your own planet one day.
Yeah.
You know?
And generally, like, we know which one are the major ones and which ones.
Yeah.
Which ones aren't.
So more often than not, the answer is have the kingdom mindset. Love them well.
Yeah.
Inform that student ministry leader at the next church. Hey, here are the things that this student is going to need from you. Here are the things that I see. Here's how you love them well. And go back and do your thing
And be glad that they're in church somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that they haven't just totally fallen off and that they're still going and participating somewhere.
Yeah. I think part of it too, it honestly is just realizing that sometimes teenagers are just going to be teenagers. And I've never been the person like, well, boys will be boys. They're just going to do what they're like. I think that's the most cop-out excuse ever. But in this instance, I just think sometimes teenagers are teenagers. And they, like Mary Margaret, like you said, sometimes they just want to mix it up.
Yep.
And they're going to go somewhere else with a couple of friends from school. just to hang out for a couple weeks, and they're going to be back.
Yeah.
And so when student ministry leaders overreact to that, mm-hmm. I think it can do unnecessary damage when all they're doing is just going and being with a friend. So, like, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that, like, we all serve in student ministry in some capacity. And there are some students that my wife had last year in her group that would go to worship at one church in our community and then come to a small group at our church. And they would do that faithfully every Sunday. Mm. And here's what my opinion is on that. It's just cherry picking things that you like, right? And so I think this overall conversation of when teenagers leave the ministry, I think if we taught more and spoke more about what the church is and what it's meant to be and helped teenagers understand the role of the lowercase c church in our lives and in their life, then I think that's a way to address this overall. Mm-hmm. It's just an understanding of why it's important for me to have a church and be plugged into a church. And that is, like, those are my people. That's my home. And we love the other churches in the community, but this is the place where God has led me to in these years to grow me and mature me in the way I need to go.
Let me throw one more out there. I know this podcast is starting to get lengthy, but what about the students that leave our ministries to go to college? And then all of a sudden you see all over their social media feeds, just reckless freshman, try everything, do everything kind of lifestyle. What do we do there?
Before, as preventative, or?
No, when you see it.
Man, I think you're still in the realm of your leadership to reach out to that person. I think we make a mistake if we see blatant disregard for, so there's a person who is following Jesus and then we see them in college and they appear to not be. I think we can reach out, and I think we should reach out. I think it's a little bit different of a conversation unless we see something extremely damaging. I don't know that the parent move is the first one, like it would be if mm-hmm. they were in high school and you saw similar pictures on social media of them participating in whatever.
Right.
Because they are an adult now and they've taken ownership of their life's decisions. But I do think that just because they've moved on out of our ministries, it doesn't mean that we all of a sudden all influence is lost. And chances are if that person is acting out in that way and they've left for college, then they don't have anyone in their life who is a check for them.
Yeah.
And you could be that. Now they might say, man, get out of here, or stronger language, but they might just say, I don't want you speaking into my life anymore. And then you listen to them. But I think you've got to make the step towards that person.
Totally mm-hmm. agree.
And I was talking with a friend and she said, we were talking about something similar, just about how easy it is to walk away, you know, how easy it is. And almost consciously you can feel yourself pulling back, but then you're almost in the same breath longing for somebody to pull you back in. Yeah. And I think that's our calling, our role and responsibility as somebody who God has placed in the student's life, even if they've graduated, just to at least give it a chance to say, hey, I love you. You know, I care about you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And what can I do? Like, how can I help? You know, I see that there's a lot going on with you right now, and I'd love to sit down the next time you're home, or I'd love to get on the phone, or, you know, however, what can I do? And just ask those questions, because so often they're just wanting to test the waters and see if anybody's going to stop them.
Yeah. I think too, I would put one caveat into that. It's probably weird, like, if you social media stalk
yes.
all of your students when
yes,
they
don't
graduate.
Do that.
So if you see it or you hear about it or you, but to do personal research yeah. on every person is probably outside of the responsibility.
Don't
realm.
Be borderline creepy. A stalker.
That's right.
Creepy.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We're going to close it right there. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation on how to deal with students that leave your ministry. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.